Ask you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of John, John chapter number 10. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, known as the beloved apostle. And as you know, the Gospels, Matthew wrote his book to the Jewish people. That's why he used over 40 Old Testament verses to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the book of Mark was written to the Romans, the Gentiles. Luke was written by Dr. Luke, who was not one of the apostles, by the way, who also wrote the book of Acts. And he wrote the Gospels in such a way as to present it as a bystander, to present facts as a bystander. John wrote his Gospel specifically to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference in the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John wrote his book to show the deity of Jesus Christ, that God was in Christ and Christ was in God, and that Christ was 100% man and 100% God. He was the God-man. So as we look at the book of John, we see that he described Jesus as Christ himself, described himself as the vine, the door, and the good shepherd, the bread of life, the water. And this morning, we're going to take a look at John's presentation through the Holy Spirit as he recorded what Jesus had to say about being the Good Shepherd. Now, I'm going to read 30 verses, and I'm going to ask that you be patient as I read through these. If you brought your Bible, take a look at it. It's good to look at God's Word while I'm reading it. And I'm reading it out of the New King James Translation, so I'll mention a verse every once in a while so you won't get lost if you're reading in the Living Bible, for instance. So let me begin in John chapter number 10. Remember, John writing to prove that Jesus is the divine God wrapped in human flesh. Listen to what he says. John chapter 10. Jesus speaking, as recorded by John, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as the thief and the robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know this voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 6 says that Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Which happens a lot, amen? Verse 7, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling is he who is not the shepherd, but one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock, one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, 'He has a demon? And is he mad? Why do you listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" Verse 22. Now it was the first dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of the sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Again, the point of John is making is that God and Christ are of the same as the Holy Spirit, one, we call the Trinity, again, the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is God. Christ is God. But he's showing in an illustration, Jesus is speaking here about being a shepherd. Now, I don't know a whole lot about shepherding. I've never been a shepherd. I've seen sheep. I've smelled sheep. I do know a little bit about sheep as I've tried to study about them because they're mentioned a lot in the scriptures. But it's a job. It was an employment job. And it wasn't generally someone who was very educated that was a sheep herder. Someone that didn't mind not taking baths for long periods of time. Someone who didn't mind smelling like one of the sheep. Someone who was kind of an outcast from other jobs. I mean, this was not even a blue-collar worker job. This was like a, out there amongst laying with the animals all night long kind of job. And it was one simply just about anybody could do, young or old. You remember King David was one time a shepherd boy, but he became a what? A king. So as we have this analogy that Jesus is using, people in their day would understand it because this was their life. They saw shepherds in and out of town and in the fields and walking all over the place. So they can easily understand the illustration or understand the picture that Jesus was drawing. But what he was saying to those who read this in his culture and also in all culture is this, that the good shepherd loves the sheep. You can't help but read those 30 verses and understand that the good shepherd loves the sheep. He calls himself the good shepherd. Well, if you have a good shepherd, then you can also have what? A bad shepherd. So the question is, if there's a comparison here, the good shepherd between the bad shepherd, what does the good shepherd do? Well, we know already in verses 11 and 14, it says that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, which means when the wolf shows up, he's willing to take a stand against the sheep. David illustrated that when both a lion and a bear came to devour the sheep. And you remember what that good shepherd did? He stood up against them and killed off those animals that came to devour the sheep. This is what a good shepherd did. There's also a mutual respect between the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd, Jesus says, I stand at the door. And literally, that's a gate. All the shepherds would bring their sheep into one pen. And the shepherd, who had spent many, many hours and days and months out in the fields and the deserts with the sheep, they grew a mutual respect for one another. And the sheep, listen, the sheep literally knew the voice of the shepherd. And when he would stand at the gate and open up the pen, he would yell for his sheep. And those sheep that knew him from spending all that time with him out of mutual respect, knew he was a good shepherd, they would follow him out of the pen while the other sheep did what? They stayed in the pen until their shepherd came. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and he is God. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 79:13, it says, then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever. We will declare your praise to generation after generation. Psalm 80, verse 1 says, listen, shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, who sit enthroned in the cherubim, rise up. And he's contrasting a good shepherd to a bad shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now it's important for us to know what Jesus is saying. Because I'm going to tell you, there are bad shepherds that are out there. As there has always been bad shepherds. Several thousand years ago, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, wrote about the bad shepherds of Israel. Listen to what is said in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. Reading out of the New King James, it says this, "And of the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up their brokenness, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled over them. So they scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts in the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or even searching for them." It automatically reminds you of the story of the good shepherd that had 100 and one went astray, and Jesus went and looked for the one, or the shepherd went and looked for the one. Listen to what he says. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, the shepherds hear the word of the Lord. The Lord says, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock to their hand. And I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they be no longer food for them." Literally, God is saying to Israel, I'm going to send a shepherd, not like the ones you've got that are lying to you and stealing from you and letting you go astray and not taking care of you, but I'm going to send a shepherd. But listen, that shepherd was Jesus Christ. That's why he says, I am the good shepherd. They knew that he was the one that was promised to come to them. And listen, bad shepherds, they're not good for the flock. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 50, verse 6. "My people are lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, guiding them in the wrong way in the mountains. They have wandered from mountain to mountain. They have forgotten their resting place." See, sheep that are scattered are lost sheep. Sheep that are sickly and puny and not being taken care of. And listen, you need a shepherd to go to the right places. When I was in Iraq, flying in a Black Hawk helicopter overlooking the deserts of Iraq, where they had a lot of sheep, believe it or not, I could see from way up in the air, well, about 150 feet from the air, I could see the fields of desert. There were salt flats. There was lots of sand. But I would see paths. I could see paths with a shepherd walking those paths from the height that I was on and watch the white line column of sheep following them. And I was able to look and see in the horizon a place for watering and a green field for the sheep to eat. And as we would drive on convoys down through the desert, I would also see the carcasses of sheep that had wandered away. It's important to have a good shepherd. Now, let me just tell you this. See, in the Old Testament, the devil wanted to shut down the shepherds because that silenced the sheep. The devil still works in the same way today. He has silenced the sheep in political correctness. We're afraid to say what the truth is. We're afraid to acknowledge as a bunch of sheep what is correct and what is not correct. And so, since the sheep are silent, now the shepherds are under attack. There was a doctor by the name of Eric Walsh just a couple weeks ago who worked for the Human Services in Georgia, and he was also a bivocational pastor in a conservative church where they preached the Word of God. It was his weekend job, his part-time job. And he got up and he preached the word like the good shepherd, giving warning what God said about many topics, to include homosexuality. And because he did that, he has been fired from his position with the government because it's considered hate language. Part-time job, preaching from a pulpit in America. They've silenced the sheep. Now they want to silence the shepherds. Did you know at the VA hospital now, there's traditionally, many of you have served in the military, whenever you have a ball or a get-together, there's always an empty table. And at that empty table would be a chair, and it would be empty, and the chair would be kind of leaned over against the table so no one would sit there. On that table would be a flower and a flag, but also there would be a Bible. That table always represented the POW and the MIA that could not be at any function the military was having because they were lost or prisoners of war. Did you know just this past month that the VA now does not allow a Bible on that display? Did you know in America they're trying to silence the shepherds? You can say whatever you want about anything, just don't talk about Jesus or the Bible. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. Every congregation, and I'm just telling you this, you know, I'm a Southern Baptist because by choice, but I'm a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, and I believe there are many, many Christians in many denominations that are saved. Just, and there's some that are lost, just they are as they are in Southern Baptist churches. We've got sheep that come in with the goats every Sunday, amen? We wonder why we got the trouble we do. But here's the other problem. We have shepherds that have silenced the sheep themselves, and they are bad shepherds. They do not preach the word. They go to Reader's Digest, and they read out of that on Sunday morning stories like, "Hello, I am Joe's Kidney." Or they talk about gardening, or the beautiful mountains, or the good things that have been blessed in all creation, and they just, it's a big love fest. No condemnation, no judgment. It's not that we're to beat up anybody, because everybody is equal when it comes to sin. Amen? Anybody here not a sinner? Anybody here a sinner? What we have in common is our sinful selves. Amen? But we'll never know if we're a sinful person if we never hear the word of God. If we go by what the world would say, it's all a disease. Everything's a disease, from the A, from alcoholism, all the way to zoology. It's all a disease, you know. What they're going to come up with next is robbery is a disease. Thievery is a disease. Stealing is a disease. I mean, we're already things like in North Carolina where they want different sex coming in the same bathrooms with other sex. I mean, and they want to call that a disease, not of the people who want to come into the girls' room, but of the people that don't want them in there. Homophobia, transgenderitis, whatever you might want to call it. And the shepherds keep their mouths shut. And matter of fact, what's really aggravating is when I see someone in a clerical collar or a nice tie standing there supporting that type of sin. So I'm not surprised, because Jesus said it would take place. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but are what? Ravening wolves. Timothy spoke the same thing, or Paul spoke to Timothy saying the same thing, and said in the latter days they would get preachers, shepherds, that would come in to say the things that would tickle your ears, but it's not necessarily the truth. Jesus is the good shepherd. You know, I can't finish it this morning. May have to take this the next Sunday. But I can tell you that as long as we continue to be the silent sheep, the wolf will have his way. I would rather have somebody on my side that's willing to, listen, be kind and gentle, but warn the wolf. You come my way, you're going to have to hit the highway. Because the good shepherd, listen, he takes care of the sheep. We see in the text of Scripture, the good shepherd is the one that looks after the sheep. Notice what it says in the Scriptures in 10:1. It says that there are thieves and robbers that come in to hurt the sheep. Chapter 10, verse 8 calls them this. Thief, robbers, they come to steal. Listen, they come in to steal, kill, and destroy. And then the worst one that's mentioned is the hireling. You know what the hireling is? The hireling is the one you go out and you find to watch the sheep, but doesn't really want to be a shepherd. He just likes the cash. He likes the perks that come with the job. I don't know many that come with being the pastor, but I can tell you that unless it's a bass boat, still waiting for mine, but the perks that come along with the job, but the hireling is the one that comes in and says, I'm just here for the fun of it. Like being on TV. Sure do like having my fame out there on the bulletin boards on the side of the roads. Why, give to me. God will bless you. He'll take care of everything. I enjoy the air-conditioned doghouses. But when the task of having to take care of the sheep comes, they run. Nowhere to be found. But see, the comparison is that Jesus, listen, is the good shepherd, and he looks after the sheep. It says right here in the Scriptures. The good shepherd doesn't come to steal, he comes to give. The good shepherd does not come to take away life, he brings eternal life. The good shepherd does not come to destroy, but he comes to build up. See, the thing is that our good shepherd not only is the one who takes care of us and loves us, but our good shepherd also protects us. I like that kind of shepherd. That means when I'm facing persecution, when I'm facing troubles, when I'm facing problems, I can go to the good shepherd. I hear his voice and he tells me when I am burdened as a sheep of his flock that I can go to my shepherd 24/7 and I can say, God, wrapped in human flesh, my good shepherd, here am I. And I am burdened with this problem, and I can close my eyes and take that burden and lift it up to the good shepherd because he wants to look after me. That's what I like about my shepherd. How about you? Not only that, but listen, the good shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't let them go astray. The good shepherd is the one that says, I am the door, come follow me. And the Bible says they follow him. If you take a look at that scripture, he says that nobody's even going to take you out of my Father's hand. I like that, don't you? What that tells me is once I believe by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I accept him as my Lord and Savior, that I come within his pastor, that he is my shepherd, and that he's going to keep me. So this is one of the reasons I believe in eternal salvation. See, once you believe, you believe. How do you unbelieve something you once believed? How do you walk away from that Jesus Christ is God who died in human flesh and died for your sins, went to the grave and resurrected from the grave? Either you believe that or you don't believe it. Either you believed it all the way or you didn't believe it at all. See, I believe that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. I believe that he's the one who died for my sins. There's a lot of people that are within the fold that when he calls their voice, they don't hear. And the reason is because they're not his sheep. It says it right there in the scriptures. So why do we have the trouble we do in churches? Because we've got some mixture of real goats and sheep. And now, is it my job to get the goats out? I just need to tend the sheep. God takes care of the goats, amen? Now, I don't know who the goats are. A lot of times they all look the same to me. And pastors can all look the same to you. Let me just say this. In the day that we find ourselves, we need to be hearing the voice of the good shepherd. We need to be leaning on this word right here. Not on what's politically correct. Not on what your family thinks. Not what Fox News is telling you or CNN. But this is the word right here. This is what the good shepherd left for us to feast on. And if you're a skinny sheep, it's because you've been away from the trough. You've been out of the green pastures. You're drinking in the wrong place. Hanging out with the wrong lambs. Amen? When you hang out with the right lambs and drink from the right place and eat the right food, you'd be a fat little lamb. A happy little lamb. A joyful little lamb. A pleasurable little lamb. Am I right? You show me a congregation that's in the Word and they follow Jesus because He's leading, you find a happy, happy bunch of sheepies. Good sheep. Where are we today? You can see it falling down around our ears. We got to get it together. This congregation, myself, other congregations, no matter what they want to call themselves, the shepherd's on his way back to claim his bride. Be not ashamed at his appearance. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we want to first of all thank you for your patience. And we pray for the scattered sheep who are all over the world. We pray against those, Father, who've entered in the pulpits that are false prophets, false shepherds, who've led your people down the wrong path. They're in the mountains. They have no rest. Father, we ask you that here at Fair Havens, even though we may be a few sheep in a small pen, we want you to be our good shepherd. We want to lean on you. We want to bear our burdens to you. Father, we pray for the congregations throughout the Commonwealth and around the United States and around the world that you prepare us for the coming of the Good Shepherd. Father, for someone here today that does not know you personally as their shepherd, I pray that at this time, through the Holy Spirit, as you burden their heart, that they would make a profession of faith in you, by faith, that they trust in you, that you laid down your life for them. And by that public profession of faith, or that profession of faith, they'd be willing to make it public and to follow after you, to be one of the sheep in your pasture. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Pray for Dr. Eric Walsh as he goes through this difficult time in Georgia. Pray for his congregation. We pray for our nation to bring a great revival. If revival doesn't come, Lord, then send us the Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come soon. In these things we pray in the blessed name of Christ. Amen.